Hello everyone, Lord Baldrith here with Echoes from the Caverns, newscast dated September 18th, 2015. Echoes from the Caverns is distributed by Sir Style Teagle and is a joint podcast project created and ran by Lord Baldrith and Asclepius. Background music by Stephen J. Goldman. Well, how's it going this week, Asclepius?
I'm going super well, thanks. Had a little bit more time to spend in the game this week, so been having a lot of fun. And yeah, things are shaping up fairly well. I'm not dying quite as much as I was, so there is light at the end of the tunnel, I think.
So have you ventured into the Etc. Mines or anywhere crazy like that yet?
No, I haven't gone quite that crazy. But look, anybody who's still soldiering along and sweating away, the learning curve or the training curve is a lot harder and a lot slower than it has been. I think that's by design, and it's probably a good thing because it reflects life and it reflects how the game hopefully will be. You know, we don't all want to be super uber powerful after a few weeks.
Well, that's for sure. But we want this game to last, don't we?
Well, we do. But I have spent a lot of time in Solus Bridge because that's where the monks are fairly weak. But I cautiously stepped out of there, and I can now happy to report that I can almost survive reasonably well in Greymark Forest.
Oh, now that's a big accomplishment there. Those guys are pretty rough.
I know. They are. Those elves are tough, and especially the archers, that when they fire a disabling shot at you, that's pretty cruel.
It's pretty hard to run away and kind of kite them when you're kind of always slowed way down.
Yeah, that's right. But yes, I was there yesterday, and I managed to take quite a few elves down, still dying occasionally, of course. But hey, if you make the ank in time, you're okay. But yeah, I'm doing much better.
Does getting to that ank, and does that make it so your weapons and armor aren't damaged, or is that still part of the deal?
I haven't actually stopped to look because, you know, they're going to take damage during the battle. And I look at my kit after an hour or two of slashing and hacking away, and I think, yes, it's really time I went back to town and fixed myself up because I'm looking pretty derelict.
Yeah, everything's got holes in it and it's falling apart.
Yeah, although I will say, I'm grateful for one thing. The armor seems to hold out better than the weapon. My sword loses its edge reasonably quickly. And I have to repair that all the time.
It takes a lot more use.
Oh, well, it does, that's right. I mean, understandable. If you're hitting people with it and killing people with it, it's going to lose its edge, it's going to get damaged. So yeah, you have to keep an eye on that and keep it repaired. But yeah, I'm delightfully up to level 30 and doing sort of okay.
Wow, up to 30, that's pretty good. You've made a lot of progress.
Yeah, well, not compared to some people. Now, we've got some dedicated gamers in the community, which is awesome. It's awesome for the game and for the devs who need this tested. I mean, some people are up past level 65 and beyond. So I say three cheers to them. But I don't have quite that amount of time to invest. But it's a fun ride. It really is.
Oh, yeah. I'm just really excited at all the new changes. I'm really looking forward to release 22, when we'll see everything even more balanced, and it'll be even all the more fun to get out there and fight and maybe survive a little better.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I can tell you one thing that should encourage you. I actually downloaded the QA game the other night, and I thought I'll have a little bit of a go at it just to see. And they said that magic was going to be balanced and work a little bit better.
Uh-huh.
Well, I logged on, and see what they do. They take all the data from the live game at a particular point in time, transfer it over to the QA server. Now, I was level 28 at that time, so I logged on to the QA server. Yes, they'd taken the data from a few days ago. Oh, yeah, I'm back to level 14.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Yeah, well, that's okay. Okay, back to level 14. And I've got a few magic spells. I've got a fire arrow. I've got a searing ray. I've got a death touch and a death ray. All of which were reasonably pathetic at that point. But I thought, look, I'll have a go at it. See what happens. And you'll be pleased to hear this. I actually went down to Winton's Folly. And, you know, there's corpions that run around.
Oh, man, they're rough, yeah.
They are indeed rough. The only good thing about them is they can't run terribly fast. And I managed to kite one of them. Using fire arrows and searing rays, I got him down to below half health. And then I sort of cast an immolation, let him... He closed up on me when I was doing that. And that killed him.
Oh, nice.
Mind you, he did poison me, so we died together, but...
Oh.
It was a nice experience.
What was the... how much damage were you getting with your fire arrow about level 14?
Somewhere between 10 and 15, from memory.
Yeah, that's more than I was getting at level 50, so that's good.
Yeah, yeah. So I think magic has got some love for this next release, which is really good, and it's something to look forward to.
Well, as I've been trying to point out, magic needs to do more damage because you're going to die a lot faster when they start hitting you. So, you know, to be fair, you should actually be able to get them pretty much killed before they start hitting you. But that's just my theory.
Well, that's right. And to be balanced, that is the way it should be. Absolutely. And I think they've worked towards that. Chris said he'd balanced everything up. He'd done a pass. He'd done all the math. And I'm sure there's still tweaking to be done. But they're doing the work. And I think it'll work out in the end.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure once Chris and everybody starts, you know, messing around with all the different builds, they'll see what's lacking and what's working. And that's a good thing about all this testing.
Well, that's right. And the more people that jump in and test it, the more fun everybody's going to have, the more feedback and data they get, and the more they can polish it. Because they can instantly see, oh, yeah, this is working. That's not working so well. Yeah, we need to nerf that one a bit. That's just too powerful. And we need to buff this one a bit and get it all in a roughly straight line.
Yeah, I also hope they mess with the armors a little bit, because I think cloth armor, even though it shouldn't really protect you that much, I think you should get some benefits for your casting, like focus regeneration and maybe less focus use when you're casting. Otherwise, what's the point in putting on cloth rather than plate? Because, hey, I'm going to get killed in cloth, so why am I using it?
Well, that's right. Maybe a bit of mystical protection would be good.
Yeah, something, just anything. I always just beat my head against the wall thinking, why am I even wearing cloth? Because it just feels like I don't fizzle with plate, so why should I even wear cloth? It's not of any benefit to me. You know, I'm getting no extra spell damage, no focus, no nothing out of it. So I'm just wondering, you know, what's in the plan for that stuff.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, yeah, sure, cloth looks okay. And it'd be wonderful if they came out with some nice flowing robes. That'd be
oh,
great.
Yes. I'm looking forward to robes. I want my mage to look like a real robe, a real mage. Right now, he kind of looks kind of like an archer, because the cloth kind of looks leathery, you know?
Yes, that's right, it does. Yeah. Well, look, in the meantime, I've got several sets of leather armor on my vendor that you're very welcome to have a go at.
Yeah, you know what? I haven't gone leather yet. Yeah, I might as well, because, you know, the fizzle rate's not that bad in upgrading your armor, but... I've just been trying to dedicate myself to testing Pure Mage, and it's been fun.
Oh, yeah, fun's a good word.
Yeah, well, fun is challenging, right?
It is indeed. But it's a great experience.
It is, and it's, you know, you want to play what you want to play, and I know you can min-max yourself to death and go down the Earth Tree to pick up all those buffs, but I just don't play that way, so I'm hoping they'll allow for us to play whatever way we want to.
Yeah, I think that's the idea in the end, and I think that's what they're hoping for and aiming for. So, yeah, let's hope it works out exactly like that.
Yeah, well, and I know they're probably looking at everything, and it's hard to get everything in and balanced right away, so just one step at a time, and I'm sure we'll see improvements every release with the combat and how everything works.
For sure. Okay, well, the news has arrived. Update number 143. We've got the Island of Storms, Autism Charity, Blood River, Fawns, Fishing Trophies, new Paper Doll UI, R22 Quest Reward, Halloween Goodies, and more. Now, that looks like a lot of fun.
Oh, lots of great stuff this week.
For sure. And first up is the Island of Storms. Now, that looks really, really interesting. That is going to be an amazing introduction to the game.
Yeah, are we looking down at the planet in that area there?
I believe that we are, yes. Because it does say, long ago, magical forces crafted this island on shards of the shattered moons, where it still floats high above New Britannia. And Arabella greets new avatars coming from Earth and guides them with a series of questions that'll determine which path they start down, truth, love, or courage. This is so reminiscent of the Gypsy Caravan of the Ultimus.
Wow, this is some exciting lore they're throwing at us here.
It absolutely is. How many of the original Ultimas have you played, Lord Baldriff?
I played Ultima 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9.
Oh, great. So you totally know all the virtue questions.
It's been a long, 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 long time, but I do remember a lot of the gypsy stuff. It was really fun.
Oh, it was fun. And the fascinating and the mind-bending part of it is Richard Garriott gives you a series of choices. Do you do the just thing or the compassionate thing? Do you do the courageous thing or the honest thing? There are no wrong answers. But this determines your path in the game.
So if you want to play a warrior, you'll answer the questions that make you strong, I would assume, type of thing?
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
That'll be kind of fun. Of course, you might end up in the wrong place, right?
Well, you might, yes. But I think I remember one question. You've been called to join your lord's army, but you or your parents have always wanted you to take the humble path of a monk. Which do you choose? Like valor or humility?
Ah, okay.
Ah. And a whole series of questions, and that's your casting. That is your character for the start of the game.
And you kind of know what kind of character you're creating, so if you just answer the questions based on that, you probably end up pretty much where you want to be, right?
You probably do, because there's probably a fair bit of clever psychology in it. You will answer the questions the way you think, and that determines probably, I know in the Ultimate games anyway, it determined some starting characteristics and some starting attributes, and you build on them later, that's fine, but that's the way you started, and here we go. These paths not only determine which plot thread you begin with, they'll determine what your starting abilities are and what equipment you have.
So instead of being forced down the swords tree when you start, you'll actually be down a different tree based on what you answer the questions.
That could well be, yes. And yeah, you'll have different equipment, you'll have different strengths, different talents, and probably start in a totally different place on the map anyway.
Ah, so they're going to have several different starting areas too, huh?
I believe so. So, that whole Solus Bridge thing, that appears to me to have been a total placeholder. And it was fine, but this looks as if it's going to be the definitive thing for when you start a game, and it'll be especially valid after a major wipe, because that's where we'll all have to start.
What I really find really cool about this is all this time we've been looking up at that floating moon, and it's like an area where you're going to end up being. It's just really neat.
It is, absolutely. Yeah. And they've said building the scene required some new solutions for terrain so that they could show the island floating in space. Nice.
I kind of like that aspect of the game where you can really get deep into it. The whole surrounding area of the planet and that kind of stuff's really cool to me.
It absolutely is. And it really fleshes out the lore. So you have come from Earth. You are an outlander. You've landed on this island, floating around a planet. A nice person called Arabella says, yeah, okay, welcome. Now, what is your power? 20 questions to see whether you tend to favor truth, love, or courage. And we'll send you down that path.
So are there 8 virtues in the Ultima lore?
There are, yes.
So they've started with these 3. That's pretty cool.
But if I remember correctly, I actually did go back and look at the wiki a while ago, and the 8 virtues can all be derived from the 3 great principles. And the 3 great principles are truth, love, and courage.
So those are like the 3 main virtues, and you build, it just kind of branches out from there?
Yes, that's right. So if you have truth and courage together, that might give you valor.
Ah, yes, that makes sense.
Whereas love and truth might give you compassion. Combine them in different ways, you will get the 8 virtues of the Ultima series. But the 3 root principles are truth, love, and courage.
They're like the 3 primary virtues that form all of the different virtues.
Yes, absolutely. Got it.
Very nice. See, this is stuff that I've either long forgotten or never realized when I was playing the Ultima games.
It is wonderful, and it's so refreshing to see it coming back. It is really, really good. And again, don't those screenshots look awesome?
Oh, they're beautiful. I'm really loving this new terrain and stuff. This is like you're up in a magical area. It's just awesome.
Yeah, and you can see, well, the sky there, the shattered moon, pretty close by the look of it. And a circle of torches there. You wonder if you would stand in the center of that to be teleported down to the planet, to your starting area.
Yeah, and can you return to this place once you've left?
At a total wild random guess, I would say no. I'd say that's your introduction, like the Gypsy Caravan. And once the casting is done, then that is your path in your future. So go, traveler, and follow your destiny.
Now, in a lot of games, when they create a starting area like this, you kind of can just get started on your character. They give you like a fairly abundant access to resources and different things to get you on your way for when you go to the main area where it gets a lot more challenging. So I'm not sure if they've got those kind of plans going here.
Well, that'd be nice. It'd be nice to fit you out with something reasonable at least. Because, as we've found, the early scenes can be challenging.
Oh man, it's like pulling teeth to pick up a couple of pieces of ore. So yeah, it'd be nice to have just a little bit of head start there.
Yeah, I know. But hey, isn't it great that we have been the ones putting up with all of this and shedding tears over it all? But we know where are the best places to go. And if you want to do some mining in Silas Bridge, for instance, that's guaranteed to work. You can chop down a tree, you can harvest some cotton, because that's dead easy.
Yep, there's a couple of places like that, the Veilways and stuff. I think they're set for beginners, because I can always succeed there. It's great.
That's right, exactly. But you go down to places like Deep Ravenswood and, well, these spectral foothills, I'm sure. I really haven't been game to go there, this release. Yeah, that's much harder, and your chances of success are considerably less.
Yeah, it takes a whole lot longer to succeed at picking up anything, plus you've got a lot more dangerous creatures kind of interrupting you.
Yes, how rude is that?
I think it's completely rude, and I think it should be illegal. Lousy wolves.
We should start Society for the Protection of Outlanders.
Yeah, how about a little sympathy for the poor harvesters that are just barely on their feet to begin with?
I know. Yeah. Hey, carry a sign with you. You know, poor harvester, haven't eaten for a week, need to work.
Leave me alone. Yeah, that'd be a good one. I like that.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, that'd be fun.
I don't think they read, though. That's the bad thing about it.
Oh, no, they don't. Yeah, you're right. Okay, we'll think of another plan.
We'll find something else.
Okay, but that is going to be fun. And look, they've gone to so much trouble just for an opening scene.
Well, and that's going to eventually evolve into a full-fledged tutorial too, probably, so that's going to be a really important scene for people.
Yes, yeah, I think it will. And people have complained about the tutorial, and I think the devs have taken note of it, and it's going to be fleshed out. And by the time people hit the ground, they should be able to hit the ground more or less running.
Yeah, you'll kind of know how to use your weapon, you'll kind of know which way you want to go. You'll be ready to go and fight the higher level hard stuff, right? Or the harder stuff. Hopefully the creatures on the starting island are either next to easy, or maybe they're not going to let us fight on this island. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But it'll be fascinating to see. I don't know whether we'll get to see that for release 23, but there will be a wipe, No, 22, sorry, but there should be a wipe for 23, so we'll probably get to see it then.
Oh, yeah, that's true. They might not start it on 22, huh? Because we're not wiping.
That's right, yes. And, of course, if you're not wiping when your character's already in the game, so you don't need to go through the starting area, you'd miss it out anyway. They might save it for the next big wipe.
Yeah, and I'm not adverse to a wipe at this point. I'm quite excited about it, actually.
Yes, well, especially as we get the Snowy Mountain biome.
That's right. Been looking forward to that for a long time, so that'd be awesome.
Oh, that's going to be lovely. That'll be really nice to see. Wow.
Just in time for the winter. It's just great. At least
that's
around
right.
Here.
Yes. Yeah, well, summer's coming over here, so look, any time I get overheated, I'll just log into the game and sit in a bit of snow.
Yeah, you can get nice and cold in Wizard's Rest, that's for sure.
That's right. Oh, but I love that area in the mountains. It's just so handy and so convenient to Owl's Head. That's beautiful.
Oh, I love Owl's Head. That's why I wanted to be over there. It's a good city. It's the best city I've been to anyway.
Oh, it's great. Okay, next we have the Blood River Settlement. Nice. Yeah, that looks interesting.
That's awesome. Look at the red water. I love it.
I know. So they started talking about this in the last update. Images depicting the bloody, smoky effects of the massacre. And Esteban Zaldivar has been cleaning up the scene. It's depicted here as it will appear when players come back later. So this is after all the massacre's over, I think. And again,
so,
that just looks beautiful.
Did they, as far as lore goes, do we know when the massacre took place?
No, I don't think so. Sometime before we got there.
Oh, okay, I didn't know if it was like we're going to get in the middle of it, or has it already happened?
Yeah, I think it's already happened, but don't quote me on that. It'll be interesting, fascinating to find out.
Yes, for sure.
But again, I love the way that they change the scenes. So when you first arrive on it, this is how it looks. But later on, it's going to look different.
Yeah, so it's got that whole thing going on where the environment changes based on the story. That's a very awesome feature for a game.
Oh, it absolutely is. Yes. And you could only do that if you run the game in instanced mode, I believe.
Right, because if you have a static world like a lot of people want, then it would be a lot harder to do that, if not impossible, I don't know.
Yeah, well, I think it would be impossible, because everybody is going to have to be exposed to the same thing. But the game will then know whether you've been there before, so that next time you go there, you'll be funneled into Blood River number two.
Yeah, so if you're in a party where one person's been there, one person hasn't, then you'll end up in different instances, right?
Oh, don't confuse me.
Yeah. Well, hence the whole thing we've got going with this game. That's part of the intrigue of this game, that we have these different instances and these different filters for the parties. That's kind of how this game works uniquely from other games.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. But hey, that's an interesting question that the devs are going to have to nut through. That's just one of the 10,000.
Oh, there's so many things they've got to think about. I don't even want to know about it.
That's right. But again, these screenshots look absolutely gorgeous. It's just going to be wonderful walking around looking at the scenery.
Oh, yeah. It's just awesome. All these new places we get to go and all the new exciting quests we get to run into. It's good stuff.
Oh, yes. Yes. And then we have very large creatures, dragons.
Yay.
Beautiful. Now, there's a little video here which looks pretty interesting. It's Andy Cortez captured it of Bryn Wilson working on the dragon animations.
Wow, I love that dragon too.
And that looks rather nice. But I just noticed, about half an hour or so ago, there was a post on Facebook. Did you catch that one from NBNN?
Yes, that one I did. It was very awesome, where they're showing us the dragon.
Oh, that was absolutely beautiful. And for those who are not in the know, they do the QA build more or less continuously now. So stuff that they're working on, stuff for the next build, is available for Dev Plus people to play with. Sometimes it's as buggy as all hell, but a lot of it's really good, and it gives the devs a lot of feedback. And they were advertising a bit of a rumble Friday night, and people were getting together. And no, Friday, whatever. People were getting together, and NBNN was there, and Twitch screened it. And I tell you what, that dragon looks awesome.
Yes, he's going to be something to mess with and something to get killed by. That'll be great.
Oh, that is for sure. They had a bunch of people there, obviously having fun and fighting each other, having a bit of a free-for-all. And there was a troll and the dragon, and then the phoenix arrived. So that would have been one scary experience.
Yeah, I know from experience about that phoenix. He does not let you do anything.
No. And the dragon looks absolutely magnificent. It's huge, and the artwork on it is just awesome. Gliding around, flapping its wings. They only would know whether they're completely happy with it, but I think the direction it's going is really awesome.
It's the first flying creature in the game, right? So it was a lot of work for him.
Yeah, that's right. So I think I'll be running very hard if I see one on the horizon.
I'd venture to say you probably can't outrun a dragon.
I can try.
But they got that fire. It goes quite a ways from what I've seen.
I know. But in the release notes that they put out for the QA build, led me to believe that we will likely see dragons in R22.
Yay, that'll be really cool. I wonder, have they talked about when they're going to start adding the roving encounters on the map?
Not yet that I've seen. Yeah, that's something that's going to be brushed up and polished and refined. But I haven't said anything more about it for a while.
I saw it got pushed out a bunch of releases, and then I stopped seeing it, so I was just curious if they were still working on that or where it's at.
Sure. I'm sure it's coming. But exactly when it comes, yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, we've been quite hoping for it so we could, like, get rid of those random encounters that kind of get in your way and just have ones you know where they are. That'd just be a lot less aggravating, so to say.
Yes. I know, I've had a few random encounters, and you're sucked into this scene, and you look around. Well, there's absolutely nothing here. What am I doing here? So just walk from one end to the other. Oh, that was fun. Thanks very much. Now let's get back to the map.
I know, and sometimes there's that guy with a wagon that doesn't sell anything that I can't get from town, so it's like, well, if you had something unusual, it'd be great to run into you, but right now you're just getting in my way.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, maybe a few less random encounters and a few more meaningful ones, that'd be great.
Oh yeah, if it's an encounter that gives you a quest or, you know, something cool, then sure, that'd be great. I wouldn't mind that at all.
Yeah, that'd be right. Ah, well. Okay, next on the list we have fawns. They look interesting.
Wow, they're not what I thought they were going to be. That's cool.
No. No, the head looks a little bit like a satyr, doesn't it?
Just a little bit, yeah.
Yeah. But the backstory, apparently, in every army there are those who lead and those who are led. And the brutal nature of the obsidians only amplified this simple truth. So thus was the existence of the race known as fawns, engineered to be slaves for their more aggressive masters, the satyrs, a pairing which has persisted to this day through a bond few understand. Yet there are rumours of a fawn who has broken his chains, rumours which fawns whisper among themselves when left unsupervised.
Wow, I like that.
Nice. And I remember now, fawns are in the book, in Blade of the Avatar.
Yeah, they are.
So, there you go. A little bit more lore coming in, a few more characters coming in. That's great.
Yeah, when I'd started hearing about them, I thought it was going to be the female version of the deer. You know, isn't that what they call it?
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yes. So there's a work in progress.
So this is a nice surprise, actually. Cool.
It is. So look for these poor enslaved creatures in an upcoming release.
Ooh, so they don't say when.
To a shroud near you.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Okay, so they're not saying which release it's going to be in, but it will be upcoming.
They are a work in progress.
That's right. And look, who knows, maybe we'll be tasked with rescuing some of them. Maybe that's part of our role in life, I don't know.
Yeah, that'd be a nice little quest to try to save some of those guys.
Wouldn't it? Yeah, that'd be lovely. Okay, next. Ah, exciting. Stuff to put on the wall.
Yay!
We have craftable fishing trophies. As reported, the first iteration of the fishing system will be playable in Release 22.
And we can say
Scotty
yay.
Jones. Yay! Scotty Jones took some time away from working on the hilt scene to create these mounted fishing trophies that players will be able to craft from their catches in R22. So there you go. Catch a fish, go to a crafting table, whichever table it is, craft a trophy and mount it on your wall.
Okay, so you don't have to catch any specific kind of fish, it's just any fish can be mounted.
That's what I'm hearing.
And then I would ask the next question is, my little teensy throwaway fish, are they going to make a smaller amount, or are they all going to be the same? Well, you know, and it was always kind of like, you want to mount those ones that like were record breakers. Those are the ones you want to display.
True, true. Yeah, I might have to start mounting the small ones.
That's what I figured. I'd be mounting my little teensy little fish. Oh, yeah, I caught that. It was weighed about 3 pounds, but it was great.
Oh, dear. Yes. But, hey, as we were saying before we started, I actually went and did some fishing.
Oh, yes.
Yes, because having downloaded the QA game, I thought, I have to see if fishing works. And yes, I am delighted to report that it does. Took me a little while to figure it out, but it's actually fairly easy. And the beautiful part is you can fish anywhere where the water's deep enough to swim. At the moment, they don't care whether it's salt, fresh, ocean, river, pond, doesn't matter. If it's deep enough to swim in, you can fish there. And I went back to town, fished off the jetty, off the bridge, and off the rear deck of my boat, and that was just amazing.
So you've answered the million-dollar question there, saying that we can fish in our player-owned town?
We absolutely can, yes, and there are fish there. So I've actually caught a few fish. I've caught a salmon and a trout and a bass. And I caught a couple of broken leather helms and some broken leather gloves.
Yeah, that just makes my day. I just love the fact that we're going to be allowed to fish from our home or nearby our home. That's just awesome news.
Ah, look, for those who love fishing, and I know this is going to be music to Winfield's ears and many other people, you just walk down to a body of water and cast your line and catch a fish.
Now, we need our portable fishing chairs and, you know, our little mug of beer so that we can get our fishing and be comfortable.
That is right. That is absolutely right. One thing that I did notice, and hey, this is only a personal opinion, and it might be a placeholder. They might be working on this because they're working on so much, and a lot of things are just placeholders. I thought the casting was a little bit unusual.
Oh.
Because what they've done, there's the glyph in your crafting section. Look down your crafting skills under fishing, and there's a little glyph there. Drag that to your non-combat toolbar. All you have to do is click that. A little green circle will appear. Drag it to somewhere in the water, and hey presto, you're away, and you will cast. Now, the animation for casting, they've borrowed that from cutting down a tree.
Yes.
So, the thing that sprang to my mind is that you look a little bit like a demented baseball player doing some batting practice in the cage against a bowling machine.
Oh, that's great. How about the sound effects? Does that sound like you're fishing?
No sound effects so far.
Oh, okay.
So you're standing there swinging the rod back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I think, yeah, maybe it's a bit like fly fishing. I don't know. You know, hurling the fly out the water over and over again.
So how does bait work? Do you know anything about that?
Yes. Now you can... I bought a rod from the crafting supply person. They also sell worms. So I bought 100 worms. And every time you cast, you will consume a worm. You don't have to thread it on the rod. I didn't know how I was going to do that, but it just happens. So
it just comes out of your inventory?
Comes out of the inventory, yes. If you've got worms in your inventory, you can cast.
Is there any other kind of bait, or it's just all worms?
I've only discovered worms so far.
Okay.
But hey, there could be more. Yeah. Yeah. And you're familiar with the little timing bar that runs across the bottom of the screen when you are harvesting a node or cutting down a tree or stuff like that? or that sort of timing bar runs along while your little avatar's swinging away with the fishing rod. If the timing bar hits the other end and you haven't caught anything, well, bad luck, you missed out. If you catch something, it'll interrupt the timer bar and say, success, you caught a... whatever you caught.
They caught a boot.
They caught a boot, yes, that's right. But I have three fish, so look, I am a champion fisherman.
Yes, you are. You can mount them all up on your wall.
I could. So that's going to be a lot of fun. So look, I don't know whether they're going to work on that animation. I mean, my concept of fishing was you wander down, cast a line in the water, so just one sort of cast, and then sit there with a tinny in your other hand and chat to your friends waiting for something to happen.
You need both hands to handle your fishing pole, or how does that work?
Yes, from memory I think it was in both hands. I'm not sure. No, hang on. I loaded it into my character where the sword was, but I don't think it displaced the shield, so I think you only need one hand.
Oh, pretty talented there to be able to fish one-handed.
Oh, look, I am just a champion.
Obviously.
Legend in my own mind, mate.
Well, that's somewhere, though. Give it that much.
But yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm so pleased for everybody that it's in the game at last. And it's going to be further refined. I mean, as we've said, there'll be different kinds of fish. Different times of the day will be better. There will be occasions when you can see a school of fish swimming along under the water. Well, hey, your chances are going to be great there.
Well, I'm still hoping for some more depth in our fishing system where you have to pay attention, or you have other forms of fishing, traps, spear fishing, ice fishing, all those kind of things. I'm hoping to see some more in-game.
Yeah, that'd be great. That would be absolutely great. But the first iteration of it is in, or it will be, when Release 22 is officially released come Thursday. So that'll be awesome.
Yeah, we'll get in there and we'll fish our hearts out, and then we'll be able to give all kind of feedback. That'll be really cool.
That'll be great. Okay, Release 22 Grand Tour Quest Reward. We have steampunk goggles.
Yay, goggles. That's a nice new kind of hat.
It is. Ah, that's going to look cool. I think there'll be a lot of people wearing those.
Yeah, I can't wait to wear something like that. It'll look great.
Yep, so there's a Grand Tour Quest designed to guide you through all the new content. So they're going to send us to all sorts of weird, wonderful, dangerous, and evil places. They're good at that.
They love to do that.
By completing the quest, you'll be rewarded with a pair of steampunk goggles. Wonderful. So please log in during R22 and get them. And they're also available in the add-on store. And you can dye them, so you can have goggles in any color you like.
I would wonder if you can dye your add-on store goggles the same color as the reward goggles, or are those going to remain unique?
I'm guessing, and I'm betting they will remain unique, because they are going to be rares. Because you can only get those as the reward for completing the quest. If you could dye the other ones the same color, it just would diminish the value.
That's the thing I've always thought, you know what? I want to be able to dye all my stuff, but my reward stuff's not dyeable. So it's like, got to buy everything again, you know?
Yes, a cunning plan.
Very cunning. You know that. We love features.
I do. Yes. Yes, I've had to find my way back to the add-on store recently to get a few more things.
Yeah, there's so much on there that's so fun.
I know. Oh, boy. I keep putting stuff on there.
Yeah, I've been telling them I'm going to run out of money here eventually. What am I going to do?
We'll send food parcels.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Okay, Autumn Awareness Autism Awareness Charity Drive. It's the third annual Logan Grisham Autism Awareness Charity Drive, September 14th, 22. Brilliant. That was announced last week, and just another reminder. On Saturday, September 19, between 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. Central, streamers from Rise Up Gaming and DJs from Avatar's Radio will be coming to Shroud of the Avatar. Now, their focus is to bring awareness to autism and the Game for Autism organization. They'll also be providing live coverage of in-game events supporting the autism awareness drive. Very nice.
Yeah.
And speaking of in-game events, join Avatars Radio, Rise Up Gaming and the Phoenix Republic for fun games, music and shenanigans in Radio City from 2 to 5pm Central on Saturday, September 19. They've got a whole bunch of things happening, and that is wonderful. There'll be dancing, races through the Avatars Radio race course, pet races, and much celebration. Win prizes and help raise funds for this important charity event. Contact Amber Rain, Kazan Phoenix Fire, or Eclipse Maiden for information on how to take part. A very worthwhile event and worth supporting.
Oh, for sure, yeah. Autism problem is huge, so I'm really happy to see this.
It is. And look, it affects and disturbs so many lives, and it makes life so hard for the people who have it, for the families looking after them. It's just such a complex and difficult disorder. So, yeah, anything we can do, that is wonderful.
Yeah, that's one of the many things finding a cure for. That's the only thing we can try to do.
That's right. And, yeah, the mission statement of the National Autism Association is wonderful. To respond to the most urgent needs of the autism community, providing real help and hope so that all affected can reach their full potential. Now, that's a worthwhile goal.
That is, yes.
Beautiful. Okay. And the National Autism Association, it's a parent-run non-profit organization founded in 2003. There you go. It's a leading voice on urgent issues related to severe autism, regressive autism, autism safety, autism abuse, and crisis prevention. So anything you can do to support, please be in it.
Yeah.
And as part of Portalarium's founding purpose to promote goodwill and make a positive difference, we have the Portalarium has the charity items to the Make a Difference store. So for each of these items you purchase, Portalarium will donate 50% of its share of the purchase price to be equally split between the National Autism Association and the National Autistic Society. So have a look at these. They look pretty good.
Oh, yes, a new attire. Very cool.
Yep, there's a puzzle pattern coat cloak. That looks really nice and intricate. And
yes,
there's a puzzle
neat.
Tree cloak. Lovely. It can be dyed to the colour of your choice, allowing you to accessorize while also signifying your support for autism awareness. And that image is a work in progress, by the way.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, though. I like that tree. That's neat.
That's lovely. Oh, yes. And there's a puzzle tree. Can be placed as an in-game decoration. Includes 6 trees of variable sizes. The leaves of the trees will have an organic puzzle shape, signifying your support of autism awareness. So you get 2 one-story, 2 two-story, a 3-story, and a 4-story tree. Very, very nice.
Oh, those will be neat.
Or you can get the whole package.
Ah, okay, cool.
Fantastic. There you go. Well worthwhile, people. And I did hear a whisper that if the community raised $5,000 for this charity, Amber Rain was going to dye her hair pink.
Oh, really? Did you hear that?
I heard that. So now there is an incentive, people. Get out there and do it.
I find that hard to believe. I thought Amber Rain was against anything pink.
She is. She will have major conniptions having to do that.
I would think yeah.
But look, it's a it's an indication of the level of devotion and dedication and what she's prepared to do to support this cause. So it's up to us, the community. I mean, we could do no less than to respond in kind and make her do it.
Yeah, we need to do that. It'll be helping a very worthy cause.
It will indeed. And we need photos too.
Yes, we do. You got to see that.
Okay. Halloween goodies. Just in time for Halloween, we've added the following items to the add-on store. We have a dyeable witch hat. Doesn't that look cool?
It is totally awesome. I love it.
Yes, I can see somebody wearing that in the very near future.
Yeah, my old guy will be wearing one of those.
That is lovely. Beautiful. And you can have it in any color you like.
Yeah, you can dye that one. That's cool.
That's nice. Very nice. And for the arachnophobes amongst your friends, you can frighten them with these scary spider wall decorations.
Yeah, I bet you those things would freak people out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and a note for the tender-hearted and scaredy cats amongst us. They are static decorations and do not move.
The first set?
All of them, apparently.
What about the aggressive ones? Aren't they going to move?
No. Well, the aggressive ones are just in a different pose, and they look as if they're alert and aggressive, sensing that their prey is almost within reach. And the attack ones, they look as if they're in attack mode.
Ah, okay. So I thought they were going to sit there and make noise at you and everything. Okay.
Yeah, but I think they are still static decorations. They just look more aggressive.
Yeah, they look pretty scary. I like them.
Yeah, don't they? Wow. So, or you can have a three-pack. Yeah, you can have three of each in a bundle and splatter them all around your basement.
And have some good Halloween basements. This would be great.
Ah, nice. And then invite your friends to a basement party.
A haunted basement party.
Yes. And don't worry, the spiders probably won't hit you.
Unless somebody can tame one and sick it on somebody.
Hey, wouldn't that be good?
That'd be mean, wouldn't it? Put them down there and then, oh, that's a real spider.
Oh, how lovely. Okay, will they never stop thinking of cool things to give us?
Never. That's part of the fun.
It is, indeed. Okay, time is running out, people. We have a 45-day countdown. So things are expiring, and as of November the 2nd, 2015, just to remind people again, the following reward expirations will occur. Future episodes 2, 3, 4 and 5, Shroud of the Avatar, additional character slots 2 and 3, and waterfront homes and lots, including the cabanas, lighthouse, houseboat, galleon, castle and castle with keeps. So if you've locked in any of those before November the 2nd, you're sweet, you've got them. But if you purchase or upgrade to any pledge after the 2nd of November, it won't be available, I'm sorry. And just another reminder that there's a whole bunch of items in the add-on store that are currently half price. List there, the Battle Banner, a whole series of homes, property deeds, the village lot deed is sold out, so you can't get any of those anymore for any money. But town and city lots, they'll go back to their full price on November the 2nd. So hop in now while it's cheap.
I haven't seen an update on how many city lots are left. It looked the same as last week, so I was curious, how close are we to sold out on those?
Wow, right. Well, I'll have to check up on that. Mind you, I don't think I'll be shelling out for another one.
You've already got one, don't you?
Yeah, I got one, but that came with the pledge. And oh, okay. I got a town lot as well.
Yeah, the city lot, the ones that are taxed, that would just be... Seems like that'd be a lot of money to keep up with every month.
Yes. And look, so far in the game, I'm sort of running out, killing a few people, coming back, selling what I loot, patching myself up, patching the equipment up. I'm just managing to keep my head above water. If I had big taxes, I would be in trouble, I think.
Well, the biggest problem is now they've added this ability to break down your weapons and make ingots out of them. So it's like, well, I'm not selling everything now and I'm losing a lot of money, but I need ingots. So, yeah, it's really challenging.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, it is. Yeah. Because that's the temptation. You bring back all these rusty swords and, yeah, instead of selling them, I think, well, that's a good source of iron ingots. I can make stuff with those, but yeah, you don't get any money for them.
Yeah, unless you've got some great plan where you can craft with the ingots that you break down from them to make even more money. I'm not sure how that works out at this point in the game.
Yes, but I did notice in an incredibly brief foray down to Ravensmoor, I think it was, I killed one skeleton there, maybe, before I was thoroughly dispatched. Okay, the kit that they carry, they often carry a two-handed sword. Well, that's worth a lot more. So, okay, as you get up, bigger monsters, they're probably carrying more valuable loot. So, money makes money.
Hey, you actually need to work your combat skill up to make more money off of your kills.
That's right, yes, yes. And once you can get out there and slay the high-level mobs, then you'll earn more money, and then you'll be living in the upmarket end of town, and you'll have gold coming out your ears. Well, that'll be fun, but it's not going to happen for a while.
Yeah, I don't expect to be rich anytime soon in the game. I'm not good at spending money. I think I waste too much. That's my problem.
Okay. Yeah, I generally fluctuate between about 10 and 16,000 in my pocket. Never get any more. Manage not to go down less, but that's it. That's all I got.
It's pretty rough when you're having problems with repairs, because those are expensive. Even with the new repair system, you still got to buy those crafting kits or those repair kits, and they're expensive.
I know. Look, I guess in the future, we'll either be able to do it ourselves or go to a friendly blacksmith, and let's hope we find a friendly blacksmith who doesn't charge us too much. And yeah, it'll all be done with the community in game.
Yeah, I hope I can get myself a blacksmith that's fairly high level fairly quickly, because that's going to really help.
Oh yeah, that's right. And yeah, I was saying to Majori the other day, I caught up with her in game too. That was lovely.
That's great.
Yeah, we should sort out the tasks amongst ourselves, and some of us can be gatherers, some of us can be blacksmiths, some of us can be carpenters, because we're not all going to be able to do all of it.
Yeah, that's actually a good plan. Just make it so each person kind of fills a certain need for the city, and then
well, that's right.
Save a lot of trouble.
Oh, it will, that's for sure. So, you know, one of us can go out bashing up the mobs and bringing home the resources, and someone else can make all the stuff with it.
Yeah, somebody's got to be able to go out into the forest and chop down trees, and somebody's got to be able to do something with the wood that they bring back. So, yeah, that's a good plan.
That's right. Oh, look. See, I'm full of it.
That's good. We like it to be full of it. We need it.
Okay, auto-cancelling monthly layaway payment plans, that's a good thing. They've mentioned this for a couple of weeks, but anybody who hasn't heard it yet, if you've got a monthly layaway plan, they can and will cancel it automatically when you get to the right level. You won't keep on going until you're Lord of the Manor. So that's good news.
Well, we enjoyed telling you about that, though, didn't we?
That's right, we did. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But if you've got a plan and it's gone over the limit and you haven't cancelled it automatically, please get in touch with them, or they will cancel it on September the 30th. Okay, and now the weekend community events, which, as always, is awesome. We got the Release 20 Deco Contest, still going. The Unreliable Travel Guide, beautiful. The Avatars Radio, running every day, always great to listen to. NBNN Lunch with Lazarus, weekdays at 12 o'clock. The Wartime PvP event, Daily Breakfast Club, the Tavern Respite, Challenge Dungeon Run, Paxley Working Hours, Navian Academy, Gladiator Wars, Phoenix Republic, Weekly Correspondence Dinner on Wednesdays, Happy Hour Wednesdays, Storytime with Royal Sexy on Thursdays, Phoenix Republic, Military Drills Control Points Thursdays and Fridays, Vengeance Madness on Fridays, and Astronomy Event on Fridays. And that's only the regular stuff that happens all the time.
Yeah.
And then Saturdays, 9 o'clock, Paxley Working Hours, 11 o'clock, Church of the Dark Star Saturday Service, 12 o'clock, the BMC Craft Show. That's always good. The intricacies of crafting, learn it from the BMC Master Craftsman, including Q&A sessions. There are several well-stocked player-run stores on site, providing a large variety of bespoke products. Hey, they can make some wonderful stuff for you. And that is at the Crafting Hall in Central Owl's Head. Excellent. Well worth going to. And 1 o'clock, Dark Tower in Dara Bray. Very nice. 2 o'clock, Avatars Radio Charity Extravaganza that we talked about. 7 o'clock, Port Phoenix Gust Ball. 8 o'clock, Vengeance 1 versus 1 tournament. And then on Sunday, Exploring Novia, 6:30, 8:30 a Pax Lair meeting, 11 o'clock Phoenix Republic Town Hall Working Hours, 1 o'clock Serenite Shopping Extravaganza, lovely, at the Selfridge Mall. Crafters will be available for special orders.
Cool.
3 o'clock Gust Ball, 5 o'clock BMC Gridiron Feast and Registration, and Gladiators Gridiron at 5:30, 7 o'clock CST Pax Lair meeting, 8 o'clock Fishing with Winfield and Avangard. And that's going to be a real thing very, very soon.
What is this next item? I didn't even know this.
Ah, I didn't notice that either. I didn't notice they put that in. Look at that. The New Britannia Theatre Troupe presents Conversations in Pax Lair. Presented a new play last week entitled Conversations in Pax Lair. The play was held at Dr. Shroud's lot in the player town of Pax Lair with Avatars Radio, broadcasting the voicing audio. In case you missed it, here's the video. Oh, that was lovely of them to video it for us.
Who took the video? I didn't... Do you know?
No, now somebody was doing that. I don't know whether it was Net or Royal Sexy or whom. But yeah, that was great.
Isn't that... I need to watch that. I didn't even know about that. Isn't that cool?
That is cool. And hey, it's cool because we actually did okay. I think that was one of our better performances.
Yeah, I can't think of any real big mistakes we made, so it was awesome.
Oh, that's brilliant. So there you go. Anybody who wants to see the New Britannia Theatre Troupe in full flight, there's the video.
Proof that we actually do plays sometimes, yes?
That's right, yes. It takes us a while to get them together, but hey, once we do, they're worth watching.
Yeah, we've got quite a collection of them now we can go back and redo if we ever want to do a bunch of them.
That's right, we have, yeah. Okay, upcoming events. All the way through to March next year. The latest official release is release 27. So there we go. It'll be interesting to see if we get to 30.
I suspect yes.
Fair enough. Okay. And recommended games to back, they are recommending Bedlam. I could identify with that. I often have Bedlam.
Bedlam, huh?
Yeah. Hard to believe it's almost a year since our friends and fellow Austinites at Skyshine Games successfully funded their Bedlam Kickstarter campaign. So they've made great progress, and they released Bedlam on Steam Early Access this week. What is it? It's a strategic rogue-like turn-based RPG. You are the mechanic, the last known member of a once-thriving guild of brilliant operators of the rolling fortresses called Dozers. You're in charge of commanding your crew in battles, managing your resources, improving your dozer, interacting with various characters, and protecting your passengers while navigating through a post-apocalyptic wasteland. You have to travel from the futuristic metropolis of Byzantine through the chaotic realm of Bedlam to reach the rumored utopia of Aztec City with as many of your passengers as crew intact as possible. Oh, there you go. Sounds like fun.
Yeah, that does sound like kind of fun. I wonder if that's probably offline, huh?
Yeah, it probably is. Yes. Nifty.
Yeah, turn-based combat's pretty fun. I don't know if they found a real good way to do it online yet, but I've always enjoyed it myself.
Oh, excellent. Yes. Yeah. You know, this is about the first online game I've played, and I have to say it is so much fun. Enjoying it so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've played a lot of offline games and single-player games, and the turn-based is pretty good.
That's the awesome part about online gaming, is that the game lasts a lot longer, because I love offline games, but months later they're done, you got to buy another game. So that's the benefit of online games, they just last a lot longer.
Yes, they absolutely do, and especially something like this that's going to be a whole world and a place to live rather than just completing the quest line, gathering all the clues, finally dispatching the uber villain, and gee, what do we do next?
Yeah, I remember I played Oblivion. And once you finish that main story and everything, you could actually continue on and mess around, but pretty much the game was kind of over.
Well, that's right, yes. Unless you had a real devotion and dedication to messing around and maybe building another house or stuff like that. Yeah, there wasn't that much to do.
Yeah, they gave you housing and you got that nice armor set at the end that you kind of go fight with, but there was no motivation to continue on, really, you know.
That's right, yes, yeah. But here in Shroud, there's going to be such a rich community. I predict there'll be hordes of people flocking in on release, and the maps are going to be full. And we'll see a whole bunch of new arrivals looking for guidance and looking for what help in sort of starting off this quest.
Yeah, there'll be people so excited that this game is released, and they'll be over there just having a ball, realizing that this game's been being made for like 3-4 years, and it's just going to be really neat to see these people that have never been in the game see how amazed they are at what we got here.
Oh, absolutely true. Yeah, really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I can't wait for that day, but I don't expect it to be soon because we got a lot of game to develop yet.
Well, that's right, yeah, there's a lot of work to be done. It looks as if the pace is starting to accelerate. Certainly they've got more staff, which is awesome. But, yep, it'll happen when it happens.
Yeah, there's no rush. We want the game to be right, and we want it to be fun. So, you know what? If it takes them longer, that's fine. As long as the game is fun, you know?
That's for sure. Exactly. But all we need to do now is get back to the game, enjoy the dying days of Release 21, and really excited to see what Release 22 brings.
Yeah, last weekend for your tour hat, and the last weekend to, I don't know, nothing's really changing in Release 22, though, is there? It's kind of like, continuing on once you get to 22, right?
Well, that's right. I mean, we'll continue on with all our experience. Hopefully, the magic skills will be a bit more powerful and certainly more balanced. Musical instruments will be in, so we'll be able to sit down, have a jam session with the piano and the lute. That'll be fun.
Yeah, have you played with the instruments yet?
No, I haven't. No, that's one thing I'll have to get down to do.
I'm quite excited to see if I get that new chair and everything with my piano. I heard it's just kind of a match set now.
Oh, very nice. That'll be lovely. Awesome.
It is. It's better than chairs I've been pulling up to it, so that'll be great.
Brilliant. And we can go fishing.
Yay, we'll be having a lot of new things to do besides dying in combat. That'll be great.
Yes. And still, there are so many areas in the map that I just have not been to yet. It's so big, and there's so much to see and do that I just haven't got there yet. It's going to take me a year to explore the whole continent, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, plus I'm kind of a chicken because I'm having a hard time with things. So, yeah, it's hard to explore when you're afraid of getting killed quick.
Cheep, cheep. Yeah, me
you
too.
Know? Chick, 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 yep.
I know. Always rough. But, yeah, it's such a satisfying feeling when you can actually venture into an area that you couldn't do before. And that's encouraging because you think, okay, if this continues, I'll be able to go almost anywhere eventually. But it will take a while.
The only thing is, even no matter how strong you get, I'll bet you if you run into a big troll, you're still going to find yourself flat on the ground.
Yeah, that's true. I have killed a troll.
A good one, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he wasn't the Uber troll. He was just a troll. But I eventually got him down. Took a while.
Yeah, and once they start giving you more than 10 gold for killing him, it'll really be a worthwhile venture, huh?
Oh, I reckon. That's right. I think trolls should carry a lot of loot. And they must have big pockets.
Yeah, the trolls should be rich. Aren't they always collecting money from everybody when they pass by?
That's right, yes. I think we'll have to have a word to the devs about that.
I think it would kind of be a nice touch if when you did run into a troll, he didn't necessarily go after you, maybe threatened you. If you pay me all this money, then you can survive. Something like that.
Okay, there's a thought, yes. Yes, yes, I'm collecting a toll to go through this area. Give me 5,000 gold.
Otherwise, I will bash your head in.
That's right. And if you can bash his head in, you get all the tolls he's collected.
Yeah, and that could be, 50,000 gold if he's killed a bunch of people.
Ah, that'd be nice. I like it. Look, I could run this game. I've got such good ideas.
Yeah, I know. If only we knew how to program, right?
Yeah, if only we knew the first thing about programming.
Now, plus, I can't draw, so just forget it.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Believe it.
Alrighty. Well, that is the news of the week.
It is. It was a great week of news and another awesome release coming up. But we can continue with 21 for a moment. And if you haven't got your hats and taken care of all your last moment business before the new release, there's still a couple of days.
That's right. Yes, there's still a few days. So get out there and get the Highwayman hat. And clean up any areas that you want to see. And just work on your character and go explore.
Yeah, so much fun to do. So we will call it here. It's towards being the 19th, at least in my neck of the woods. The awesome background music you are hearing for the podcast is by Stephen J. Goldman. The song is entitled Dark Planet. Also, thanks to Sir Style Tickle for his technical work on the newscast. Please support Avatars Radio. The radio needs your support to continue to make the magic of this program, podcasts, music, and events possible. Please go to avatarsradio.com and click the Patreon link. And thanks to Amber Rain for broadcasting the newscast on avatarsradio.com. This is Lord Baldrith and
Asclepius
with Echoes from the Caverns.